This is Jay Smooth from the Underground Railroad, the author of Can't Stop, Won't Stop, A History of the Hip Hop Generation. Jeff Chang is here on the East Coast with us. Good to have you here, sir.
It's wonderful to be here. And thank you for bringing in the warm weather.
We try. We're up in the 50s. This is an event for us.
Appreciate that.
So starting off with the obvious question, your book is entitled A History of the Hip Hop Generation. How does that differ from A History of Hip Hop?
Well, it's basically about trying to look at hip hop's context as well as its content. So, you know, a lot of folks, first of all, they kind of look at hip hop as just rap music. And I take it as a much broader type of thing. I feel like hip hop is the big idea in our generation. The words hip hop carry the same kind of power for folks that were born, you know, after the baby boomer generation that the words civil rights or black power or thorough liberation had for their generation, the words hip-hop have for ours. So hip-hop's kind of like the big idea. It's affected the way we look at culture, the way we produce culture. It's affected the way we look at politics. So I wanted to really kind of get at all of that.
Can you talk about how hip-hop became a part of your life?
I got to hip hop basically like a lot of other folks during the early 80s. A lot of the kids during the early 80s, you know, I saw like Beat Street and I saw like Wild Style and Style Wars. And the last two movies, especially Wild Style and Style Wars, you know, really brought it home for me. You know, it was like, I think subliminally looking at these pictures of a lot of non-white kids, you know, for one, because I grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii. And seeing them doing this crazy stuff that just was amazing, completely different, didn't really understand where it was coming from and that type of thing. I just wanted to learn everything I could about it.
That was, I actually watched Style Wars last night while I was reading through the book.
Did you really?
And, you know, one of the things that caught my eye in the movie and reminded me of the book is when you see Scheme,
right,
the graffiti artist, talking with his mother,
uh-huh,
and she's deriding his idea that he's famous because he's all city on the trains, and he tries to explain to her that I know that most people don't know who I am when they see my name on the train, but it doesn't matter what those people think. I'm doing this for myself and the other graffiti artists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think the book captures really well, that hip hop started off as something that this community shared with themselves.
Right.
And then it transformed into something that was a commercial product that was kind of centered all around the world. Do you think there's things that we've both gained and lost from that transformation?
It's something now that we can be talking about, you know, 20 years after we came to it, and it's something that's a lingua franca, so I could talk to somebody from, you know, Cuba, or I could talk to somebody from Kenya, or I could talk to somebody from China, and we could all be like talking about hip-hop. It's a beautiful thing in that respect, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's globally distributed and globally consumed. But at the same time, you know, I like to look at hip-hop as a local culture. Hip-hop being something that is rooted in the neighborhoods, in the streets, and looking at how folks around the world are changing it all the time. You know, we can even use it as a way to find a politic for our generation. The National Hip Hop Political Convention, you had people from early 40s down to like 16 years old all gathering together under the banner of hip hop to actually forge a political agenda for their generation. And that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing that we get out of the book, is that people get caught up in judging hip hop by the biggest things that are happening with it in the mainstream. But I think the ways that hip hop is still the biggest is the ways that it's the smallest in all these local communities.
Yep, exactly. It's just a small slice. What you actually see the most of is actually just a small slice of what the big picture is.
Mm-hmm. And there's always so many new scenes developing like all around the world, in places like Brazil, mm-hmm, with the Aboriginal population in Australia.
Right.
Like just the same way that it provided a voice in this form of rebel music, mm-hmm, in the South Bronx in the 70s, disenfranchised people in so many other places find that same role for hip-hop. I think that's one of the most beautiful things happening right now.
Yeah, I do too. You know, the other thing that's interesting about bringing up the Scheme and his mom's conversation is just the tension between the two of them as far as how they look at the world. And I thought that was, I'm really glad you brought it up. I thought that was like a pivotal scene in the movie, because it was showing how younger folks didn't necessarily see themselves in the ways that their parents did. And for us as a hip hop generation, you know, there's a big generation gap. And in a lot of ways, it's been put into public policy with Prop 21 in California, with, you know, a lot of war on youth types of laws, sweep ordinances, curfew laws, all these types of things that are supported by people that fought for civil rights and fought for black power and fought for third world liberation. And the thing that still drives me nuts is, even now, people would look at this and find in it ways to criticize us as opposed to wanting to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's disheartening because the State of the Union speech, George Bush got up there and said, you know what? We're going to come out there and we're going to talk to you guys. We're going to tell you how to come out of the gangs and how to respect your women. And we're going to have a faith-based initiative to go after inner city youth. And Laura Bush is going to head it up. And so folks on the left look at that like, oh, that's ridiculous. Laura Bush talking to gang members in Watts or Chicago or something like that. But yo, the right wing is two steps ahead of the left. They were the ones that initiated the politics that got us where we're at, the politics of abandonment and then the politics of containment. And now they're thinking two steps ahead. They're thinking, hey, these guys aren't going away. We got to assimilate them. You know, instead of like saying, we're going to continue to go after you guys and demonize you guys, hey, we're going to try to figure out a way to assimilate you guys. And I feel like the left, man, I feel like the left has no way of countering that right now. And it really disheartens me.
Yeah, that's something that it definitely struck me that you focus on hip hop being a product of the politics of abandonment, not only from the government, but from our own people, our own older generation of African Americans and the left. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like for the first 20 plus years of hip hop's existence, the older generation basically turned their back on us, didn't want to respect us and give us the attention we needed. And now that we're fully grown and over 20, they're starting to turn around and be forced to pay attention to us. And they're telling us, well, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But at this point, you're basically in the role of the absentee father who's showing up after the kid is full grown. It's like, I mean, you had your chance to be there guiding us and nurturing us if you would have accepted the culture with open arms when it was developing.
Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, we just need to have more intergenerational dialogue. I mean, there was the panel at the National Hip Hop Political Convention last year that opened it was a panel on intergenerational dialogue. And it went in all kinds of directions. And it's because we haven't had these public spaces or even private spaces to actually get down into the nitty gritty on this stuff and to be able to have sessions where we can build around this. I feel like hopefully if the book can do anything, it might be able to spark some of that to say, here is what we see and here's the worldview that we have and understand us, you know, for who we are, not what you want us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can get to the point where we can try to find some sort of a common ground on things.
What do you think are people's misconceptions in terms of seeing hip hop for what it actually is?
Well, I mean, looking at the small slice of the picture, right? Like what you get on BET, what you get on MTV, which is both Viacom, is a small slice of things. Again, if you look at stuff on the local level, the idea of politics makes a lot of sense. You'll be talking about what's happening in your neighborhood or this or that. And the thing that's missing in hip hop that we all criticize is this idea of balance. There's no balance in terms of the depictions of stuff that's out there. Money, big money, distorts it. But to take that small piece for the whole is to miss a lot of stuff that's actually going on that's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, I think that that's one of the things that folks get kind of twisted about it. The other thing is actually there's a lot of romanticization that rappers can be leaders. Let's be real. Just because somebody can flow, and this is something that Bill Stefani says in there, he's one of the founders of Public Enemy, just because somebody can flow doesn't necessarily mean that they have what it takes to be a political leader. You know, so I think we put a lot of faith, and I think especially a lot of older folks put a lot of faith in folks that have the limelight as folks that can then carry the flag. But those are artists. And we have to protect our folks as artists. We have to allow them to say what they need to say. And if they don't say what we want them to say, we have to be able to criticize them. But let's take them for what they are. They're artists. And let's not put them in the role of leaders. Let's build up the folks that are doing things on the ground in the local areas, the hip-hop activists and the hip-hop organizers that are doing stuff on the ground. Let's build them up. Let's give them some shine. Let's give them some light. They can tell you how it's really going on the grassroots level.
Yeah, that's something that I'm really glad you stress in the book, because I'm sure you know from reading my website that this is one of my pet peeves, that people judge hip-hop solely on whether it's speaking explicitly politically in the actual music, and the music needs to be judged on whether it's good music or not. I know that seems like a radical idea, but a musician's responsibility is to make good music. Anything else that comes after that is icing on the cake, and I'm glad to hear it. But if you want to see hip-hop activism, you need to be looking to people who are hip-hop activists.
Right.
And I think your book does a great job of showing who the real hip-hop activists are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what do you think is the proper role for the artist?
Well, I mean, the proper role of the artist is to speak the truth and to do that in a principled, uncorrupted kind of way. And I feel like a lot of artists try to get away with it and just say, well, I'm just reporting what's happening on the street. Yo, I'm just keeping it real. Yo, I'm just doing this or doing that and stuff. Well, yo, they ought to be challenged as well. Like, really get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on. And I think that that's something that Cool Herc makes really, really clear in the introduction to the book. It's not really just about keeping it real. It's about keeping it right, is what he says. So I feel like artists have a lot of artists have a long way to go with that. And we, you know, we should push them towards that. But I definitely feel like it's not their role either to take dictation from us and to always necessarily carry the party line. Sometimes you need that outsider stance to be able to get a good critique of what's going on and to be able to shift things in a different direction, and that's what we need art for. The book actually began as an idea many, many years ago to write about Death Certificate, an album by Ice Cube, that was his principled attempt to actually comment right, wrong, good, bad, on where he felt his generation needed to go. You know, there was a lot of stuff in there that I disagreed with, but, you know, my ongoing sort of evolving relationship to that particular record was an amazing kind of dialogue, and it taught me a lot of stuff, and I feel like I had the call and response with songs like Black Korea as well, and I feel like I put that stuff out into the world as well. But that's what you want out of art. You want art to, like, shock you. You want art to shake you out of your comfort zone. You want art to be able to move you. You want art that you can be, you know, infuriated at. And you want art basically at the bottom base level to just represent what's happening. And that base, I think, is what we need to do. We have to protect our artists for sure.
And do you have some events going on in New York that people can come check you out at?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks should definitely come through. The big thing is a release event at the Bronx Museum of the Arts. And that's going to include DJ Cool Herc. It's going to include Benjamin Melendez from the Ghetto Brothers, which was the gang that actually was the key to the 1971 peace treaty. Jazzy J is going to spin. Popmaster Fable is going to be up there and moderating a discussion. And it's just going to be great. It's going to be sort of a tribute to the Bronx in the 1970s and taking it all the way back as a way to have a release party out here in New York City. So I hope folks can make it up to that as well. And all the details are on the website, which is www.cantstopwontstop.com. No apostrophes, just straight. Can't stop, won't stop, because we can't stop and won't stop. So
cantstopwontstop.com, where Jeff Chang also has a blog that you can use to check out his latest thoughts on things. Before I let you go, I'll just ask, if there's one idea you could get everyone to take away with them after they read the book, what would it be?
I mean, I just hope people would kind of have sort of an intergenerational dialogue about things. I mean, we're not going to be able to move the progressive movement forward if we don't get through some of the issues that have to do with generation. I mean, bottom line is that there are differences between the generations, and that we haven't been able to deal with those issues as well as we should. And so before the right and George Bush and Laura Bush come to the inner city and try to change things in their direction, you know, let's get our stuff together and make it happen. I think that that's like the one thing that I want folks to kind of take away from this book.
All right. Well, definitely. Thanks a lot for coming down. I strongly encourage people to check out this book, Can't Stop, Won't Stop, A History of the Hip-Hop Generation by Jeff Chang. I'm going to need a few more months to read and absorb it, and hopefully we can get you back here and have another discussion.
That'll be fun.
All right.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And it can't stop, don't stop, won't stop, ain't gonna stop, ain't
from the top, straight blowing up. Check out this upcoming event with Jeff Chang.
On Wednesday, February 23rd at 7 p.m., join DJ Cool Herc and other hip-hop pioneers at the Bronx Museum as they celebrate the release of Jeff Chang's groundbreaking new book, Can't Stop, Won't Stop, A History of the Hip-Hop Generation. First, Jeff Chang will lead a panel discussion with Cool Herc, Benji Melendez of the Ghetto Brothers, and the original DJ Jazzy J, paying tribute to hip-hop's birth in the South Bronx. And then Jazzy J will get on the turntables and the party will get started for real. So come down to the Bronx Museum at 1040 Grand Concourse on Wednesday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. for the book release party for Can't Stop, Won't Stop, A History of the Hip-Hop Generation, up in the Bronx where the people are fresh.
Yo, yo, you are
this and is Jay Smooth
listening to Rise Up Radio. That was Jay Smooth. I'm Nell here with Q for some announcements.
Tonight, as part of its documentary Fortnight, which is their annual exhibition of nonfiction film and media, MoMA will feature two short films in honor of Black History Month. The first, Oche, Legacy of the Election Day Massacre, shows how one of Florida's most prosperous African-American communities was erased from history on Election Day in 1920, when two members attempted to vote. The second film, entitled A.K.A. Miss George Gilbert, tells the story of Angela Davis, the African-American scholar who was placed on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list in 1969. These films can be seen tonight back-to-back starting at 6 p.m., followed by a discussion with the directors at the Museum of Modern Art, located at 11 West 53rd Street in Manhattan. There is an entrance fee. For more info, visit www.moma.org.
And a shameless plug for something that I am involved in up at Columbia's campus this next weekend, Sunday, February 27th, a conference on coalition building and gentrification in New York City. It's called Connecting Communities, Generations Against Gentrification. It's an all-day conference from 11 to 6 p.m., taking place in 567 Lerner Hall. That's at 115th and Broadway. Again, 567 Lerner Hall. We'll meet with CAV, Organizing Asian Communities, Develop, Don't Destroy Brooklyn, Coalition to Preserve Community in West Harlem, the Harlem Tenants Council, the People's Convention. We'll have spoken word, art making, free food. Check it out. It's co-sponsored by the Office of the University Chaplain. And for more information, you can email speak@columbia.edu.
Shameless plug number two would be tonight, CUNY students are meeting at 7 p.m. to plan against Governor Pataki's proposed tuition hikes. City University students and community members will be meeting at City College, 137th Street and Cobbin Avenue, room 3201. To get there, you want to take the 19 train to 137th stop. The number to call also is 212-650-5008. You can also check out cunyunderground.org. See you there.
Yeah, so you know your Rise Up posts here, we're all involved. We're up in the activist scene, and we don't make no bones about it.
Reminding you guys again, CUNY students and other members come down to City College at 7 p.m. tonight.
That's right, and you've been listening to Rise Up Radio, a production of the Free Radio Youth Collective. We'd like to thank our guests Bill Piper, Monroe Walker, and Jeff Chang.
You can find archives of our show at the website riseupradio.org. That's www.riseupradio.org.
And if you'd like to call with comments, 212-209-2948. 212-209-2948, and we're going out with Dizzy Gillespie, Manteca.
Peace out.